Shabbat shalom to you. We are going to talk a little bit about shalom today. And before we do that, I want to take you down a dark hole to a frustrating place. I'd like to invite you to join me in my pity party. I want you to think with me for a moment, just in your own personal life, about what's going on, what frustrates you, what angers you, where are you disappointed, where do you doubt, and maybe it's that guy on the job, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's something in your family, one of your kids, maybe it's a marriage relationship, it's this nation, it's our state, laws that are passed, the chaos, the twistedness, the wickedness. We can think of all kinds of things that frustrate us and rob us of our shalom, our peace. And now, if you thought of some of those things that frustrate you, now I want you to do some math with me, okay? Let's multiply that times 5 or 10. What if tomorrow our nation was 5 times or 10 times worse than it is today? What would that do to your shalom? What if the relationships that are concerning to you were 5 to 10 times worse tomorrow than they are today? And do the math. Just go down all the things. And what would that do to your shalom? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Of course, shalom, peace, is much more than the absence of conflict or fighting. It's really more of a holistic, a wellness of the soul. It is well with my soul. So the deeper meaning is this peace, that this wholeness, regarding our spiritual well-being, our where we are at with God, where we are at with Messiah. And from the very beginning of time, our enemy has been trying to rob us of the peace of God, the peace, the shalom that God has intended for us. And many today in the world out there, they're living in so contrary to God's goodness, His love, His truth. And so they are in so many ways without shalom, whether they realize it or not. Their sin and their deception has separated them from God. But we know that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him might have peace, shalom, might be saved, right? And then think of our Messiah. He was full of grace, full of truth. He was the Prince of Peace. And this shalom of Jesus comes to us, though, in a place of humility on our part. We must surrender to God. We must trust in God if we're to walk in shalom. So I just want you to know, no matter what was on your list today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what is the turmoil in your soul, that God has shalom, He has peace for you today. And the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course, offers peace to this crazy, chaotic world, this restless world. And do you remember this? The risen Christ appeared to His disciples in Luke 24, and this is what He said. He said, "Now as they said these things, Jesus Himself stood right in the midst of them suddenly," right? "And He said to them, 'Peace be to you. Peace be to you.'" And Jesus, Messiah, has the same message for all of us today. And the fact of the matter is, we have to learn to walk in the shalom of Messiah, because if we don't, tomorrow when it's 5 or 10 times worse and we can't even handle it today, what will happen tomorrow? Do the math, right? Do the math. And so listen to what Messiah says. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now may the Lord of peace give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." Oh, the peace, the shalom that God has for us through Messiah. And those who are so desperate for it and don't realize it, that are so thirsty but haven't drank, aren't willing, are resisting the living water. But then there's us as believers who struggle with shalom as well, don't we? More often than we'd like to admit. Listen to the words, though, of thinking of the world out there. This is Thomas Watson. He says, "Peace flows from sanctification, but they, being unregenerate, have nothing to do with peace. They may have a truce, but no peace. God may forbear the wicked for a while and stop the roaring of his cannon, but though there be a truce, there is no peace. The wicked may have something which looks like peace, but it is not. They may be fearless and stupid, but there is a great difference between a stupefied conscience and a pacified conscience. This is the devil's peace. He rocks men in the cradle of security. He cries, 'Peace, peace,' when men are at the precipice of hell. The seeming peace a sinner has is not the knowledge of his happiness, but the ignorance of his danger. The peace of the wicked is born of delusion. True peace is the child of saving grace." Paul said, "May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace in believing." Peace is the gift. Shalom is the gift that God has for those that would believe. And so as believers, there are all kinds of things that rob us of our peace. There's all kinds of ways that we lose our shalom, right? And here are some of the, they say these are the six biggies, the six big ones. Ready? Fear of poverty, fear of death, sickness, old age, criticism, the loss of a loved one. And of course, there are many others, like relational issues, marriage issues, job issues, grief over your own sin and stupidity, watching our country fall apart, people rejecting us, our own pain, our own sickness, our own disease, things that we look out into the world that seem so unjust and so unfair, end time trials and tribulations that are going on and seeming to get worse by the day, and the list goes on and on and on. And all of those things can come in and just rob us of our shalom, our peace. But in the midst of all of that, God does want us to have shalom. It is well with my soul, a wellness of the soul. He wants us to experience and walk in his peace and his power. Now, last Sabbath, we looked at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And we said the scripture seems to say that we will go through the tribulation. We will not be snatched away in some secret rapture and miss the coming trials. They are coming. And let me remind you of this passage. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll read, eventually we'll read verses 1 through 8. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering of those together to him, we ask you, not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day will, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition," right? "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Verse 5, "Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, and he that he may be revealed in his time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now that's exciting to me. Anytime we talk about the second coming of God and the brightness and the glory of his coming, I get excited. Here's the deal. We say that we believe in the sovereignty of God, that God is perfectly just, good, loving, righteous, and there's not anything that happens in the world that he does not orchestrate or allow, anything out of his will, his knowledge. Yet, let's face it, at times, oh, how we struggle. We say we believe that, but oh, how we struggle. We question and we doubt and we lose our shalom, but the Bible declares that as time goes on, our society will get more and more dark and more twisted, right? That's what the word says. Shouldn't surprise us. And so, as we've said before, and so what an opportunity in the twisted darkness for us to shine, for Christ to shine, for us to be salt, to be light, to offer hope to these hopeless people. So here's the questions. Does not the Bible teach us that Jesus is Lord, that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, that he is with us always, even unto the end of the age, that his name is higher above every name, that he is sitting at the Father's right hand until his enemies are put under his feet, that all things hold together by the power of his word, that he is King of kings and Lord of lords, that consequently we are more than, because of all of that, we are more than conquerors through him, overcomers by our new and redeemed nature. Is that not true? Yes or no? Yes. So what is your problem? What is my problem? Why do I continue to get stressed? Why do I continue to worry? Why do I grumble and complain and act as though these things are happening out of the blue, that maybe God doesn't know about it, that he hasn't told us about it from Genesis to Revelation? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? I like that question better. But we are overcomers, right? Look at the glorious promises. These are just from Revelation. Listen to these. This is Revelation 2:7. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Oh, want to do that. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. I want one of those. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule with them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken into pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, I will give him the morning star. The one who conquers will be clothed, all these are out of Revelation 2 and 3, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments and will never blot out his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on his name the name of God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which will come down from God out of heaven, and my new name. And finally, Revelation 3:21, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. That's glory. That's glorious, isn't it? As we look at the passages about Jesus' return, we find that they're less about finding relief, and they're much more about being ready to stand before the Lord, to walk in holiness, to share the amazing grace of God. They emphasize, yes, holiness and living godly lives, and they emphasize comforting one another, living with one another as believers, as a family of God, going through the hardships of this age, but with the hope of his coming, with shalom, right? God has, let's face it, as Brother Frost said, God has provided us with so many blessings in this age. He really has. You think of, you know, the brothers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, our provisions have been met. So many of our needs are provided for so wonderfully, and the list goes on and on. But yes, someday, like the persecuted church, we too may be called to die for Christ or suffer intense persecution, of, as we've heard, is ongoing every day around this globe. Yet the hope that makes us have shalom is the hope of his appearing, the second coming. And God calls us to live with that peace, with that shalom. And so the word says we shouldn't live as other people who have no hope. Don't live like they have no hope of tomorrow. Their hope is in the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, Governor Inslee. Their hope is in this or that or whatever. Well, that's a horrible place to put your hope. Amen? The Lord knows our needs. He knows what we need every day, clothing. And he knows that we're living in this twisted, dark world that's getting more twisted and more dark every day. He knows that. And so we look at all of these things and the glory that's coming, our lives cannot be consumed with. They cannot be focused upon just living day in and day out and collecting stuff and things, competing with our neighbors, making our work life somehow survivable, living for the weekend or whatever. We have to live lives that invest in eternal things, right, that will count in whatever spheres of life we're in. We must live it for the glory and the purposes of God. And all the while, we're sharing the gospel, we're celebrating our hope, but we're living it no matter what comes, no matter how dark it gets, we're living it. God calls us to live it with peace and shalom. And you're saying, yeah, I knew that. I know that. But I'm having a hard time doing it. The wrong way to handle the stresses of life, of course, is to worry about it. And Jesus said three times in Matthew 6, do not be anxious, right? Paul later said, be anxious for nothing. But we allow our daily concerns, even at the moment, knowing that tomorrow may be 5 or 10 times worse, even at the moment, we allow our daily struggles to take us to a place that is not healthy. And we indeed lose our peace and we lose our hope. And rather than seeing what God has called us to do in this context, in this moment, even within this persecution or trial that we're going through, and rather than seeing God's purposes worked out in and through us, we allow those situations to begin to control us and to drag us down, and maybe even take us to a place where we begin to neglect other people, other responsibilities, and our callings from God. There's two verses that I'd like you to wrestle with. One is Proverbs 23, and the other Psalm 94. The last part of Proverbs 23 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And the context there is someone was saying one thing, but they were really something much different. But here's my fear is oftentimes we say one thing, but we're really much different. And if we are, no matter what we say, if we aren't truly committed, if we don't have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, if we're not walking in the Spirit and in shalom, we are going to be utterly decimated by tomorrow, times 5, times 10, right? Psalm 94:17 says, unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. I've just given up. I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm finished. I got nothing more. But the Lord is our help. And if I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Now here, I had never noticed this before, but I haven't looked into that word much, but the multitude of my anxieties, plural, right? We can have all kinds of anxieties, can't we? Uh-huh. Calista's shaking her head. Yeah, just got married. Oh, anxieties. But no matter how many anxieties I have, God says, the writer says, your comforts delight my soul. Look at the plural form of that word. He has comforts. He has shalom. He has peace that will cover, that will deal with all of our stresses, all of our anxieties, all of our worries. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Oh, easy for you to say. What do you do with that? It's a command, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing. When was the last time you were anxious for nothing? I bet I could grab you almost any day of the week and sit you down, and if you're honest, I could find that you're anxious about something. Right? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Well, that sounds really good. It sounds so simple, so straightforward. 1 + 1 = 2. Wow, that's hard. It's hard today. What will it be like tomorrow times 5 times 10? You've noticed, haven't you, the track that our nation is on? Have you looked at that? And maybe we'll bounce back, you know, to some way. I don't know, but it doesn't look good. God says, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. And we often go to the Lord in prayer, but we go sometimes with And I'm not asking you to pretend, but I'm asking you to go to him with confidence, without doubting, without discouragement, or put that out before him and let him be the lifter of your head. Let him encourage you. God promises not to allow anything in our lives that will be too much for us to bear. Oh, I just can't handle this. It's too much. I can't go on. I can't do this. I can't. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. No, you can't. You can't except by the power and shalom of Christ. He promises to work out everything for our good in the end. He promises, he says, to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish us even in the midst of our suffering. So don't be anxious. Take it to prayer. Express it with thanksgiving. You know, go to him with praise. We often go to him and just a whining, pity party, negative, woe is me. He is God. He is sovereign. He is able. He loves you. He's just. He's right. He's good. He's sovereign and on and on and on. He's all of that and so much more that you have not a clue about, nor I. So what's wrong with us? Listen to this. God promises not to allow anything to happen to us that we won't be able to bear. He mentioned that. He promises to work out everything for our good. We mentioned that. To perfect, confirm, establish, strengthen. We mentioned that. Being thankful. When we come to him in praise and thanksgiving, it helps. It releases the anxiousness, the anxieties, the fear, the frustration. You will be amazed as you pray, as you sing the high praises of God, that his spirit floods through you and all these things are just kind of washed away. Knowing that God will supply all our needs, that he is close and intimate in our lives, that he cares about us, that all power belongs to us, that he's making us more and more like our Messiah, and that no detail, no matter how minute, will ever escape his view. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, right, yeah, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So the text goes on, share your request to God. The text says, you know, the peace of God will guard your heart, your mind through Christ Jesus. And then look at verses 8 and 9. Philippians 4, 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Is that what we do? No. We fill ourselves up with garbage, with negativity. Do you know what's happening? And I'm guilty, probably more guilty than you are. Did you see that in the news? Did you watch that? Do you know what they're doing? Do you see the bill they're trying to pass right now? Did you see what they said? And we get all worked up, don't we? Times 5, times 10 tomorrow. Where are you going to be? Where am I going to be? Let's learn today to walk in shalom. And let's learn today, yes, those things are happening. Yeah, but they have been prophesied. It's all here. Have you not read? Have you not heard? Have you not learned? It's here. Why are you surprised? Why are you shocked? Why are you upset? It's all here. Are you mad at God because he said it would happen and it's happening? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? We should say, amen, just like God said it. Yeah, it's horrible and wicked and ugly and just like God said it would be. But we meditate and we think about all that garbage all the time, and it just takes us into this place where we lose our peace and our shalom, right? So we live in this fallen world, but and through Christ, our minds can be renewed, but we need to be renewed and refreshed, right, ongoingly. Romans lays it out, 12, right, challenges us. And Jesus, listen, this is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Ephesians 4, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Colossians 3, put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. 1 Thessalonians 5, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Colossians 3, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Finally, 1 Peter 1, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul over and over says, you know, I would not that you would be ignorant. You know, he's I don't want you guys to not understand. I don't want you to be caught unaware. But what we act like we're caught unaware. We act like we don't understand. We act like it's not here, but it's here. It's here. So this text in Philippians 4 says, think on the true, noble, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are praiseworthy. And then he says at the end there, he says, and these things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And I want to challenge you to make a connection that I think is so vital, because we say things and we say we believe things and we maybe pray things, we read things, we talk about them. But is it true for us? It might be true of God, but is it true for us? When does all that wonderful, beautiful Bible knowledge become transforming, life-giving truth for us that keeps our shalom? I submit to you that it begins when we allow the Spirit of God to work in us through our surrender, our humility, our obedience. Truth happens when we obey the truth, when we walk in the truth, we can't just say it, we can't just pray it, we can't just pretend. It can't be religious, it can't be tradition. It has to be God's truth, and it has to be true to us. Truth happens when we obey it and experience it. And I love this saying of Bonhoeffer. It always convicts me so. Only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. As we act upon it, these things become truth for us. And as we're only as I think we're walking in that truth, can we have peace and can we have shalom? So it's not good enough to hear it, to learn it, to receive it to some level, to some degree. We must do it. We must walk in it. If we are to have shalom, we must walk in the principles and the promises of God. Listen to 1 Peter 5. And we know, we'll talk about Peter. He struggled with peace, did he not? 1 Peter 5:5 says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, towards God. God's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Okay? So we could easily say, wait a minute, Peter, you are such a hypocrite, right? The Apostle Peter, he was a worrier. He had anxieties, plural. He worried about drowning. Remember, Christ was right there, and he was worried. He took his eyes off Christ. He was worried about drowning, sinking into the water. He worried in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was going to happen? What did he do? Drew out his sword. I'm going to handle this. I'll take care of this. I'll chop this guy off. Chop him up. He was worried. But worry is often stupid, never smart. We do stupid things when we're anxious and worried. It takes us to dark places. Remember when Jesus was, trying to confirm to the disciples that he was going to be crucified? He'd been telling them over and over and over again, they couldn't get it. But Peter, when maybe he was finally getting it, he ordered Jesus not to go to the cross. You will not be crucified. Those aren't the exact words, but where was Peter's humility? It took a lot of guts, didn't he? But he struggled so with anxiety, but he learned his lesson, and he's passing it on to us. And I love that, 1 Peter 5. Clothe yourselves with humility. Humility to others, humility before God. We have said that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that our peace is provided through him by the Father, right? Jehovah Shalom. And I love this. Many of you, I'm sure, know this story well, but let's just recount it quickly as we draw this to a close. In the book of Judges, right, they had not been in the Promised Land too long. The surrounding people were resisting the Israelites, causing them harm, and many were fearful about what was going to happen, and they were finding it difficult to trust in God and be faithful to him. And these pagan neighbors were leading them into adultery and enticing them. And maybe that's a lot like us, right, here in this nation. In Judges 21:25, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did just what was right in his own eyes, right? And then the Lord appears to Gideon, right? And it calls him to deliver the people, to deliver them from their tormentors. And, when Gideon realizes that it's the Lord talking to him, he becomes fearful. But then the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. And Gideon built an altar. Do you remember? There to the Lord. And he called it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. A time when Israel had no peace, there was not peace in the people's heart. God came offering power and relief and had put a calling upon Gideon. But Gideon's story is not unlike our story. All these things are happening around us. We're struggling to figure out, well, what should I do? What can I do? I'm worried. I'm stressed out. But the answer for Gideon, and maybe the answer, I know the answer for us, is putting our full trust and faith and belief and walking in that in the God of peace, in Jehovah Shalom. It was true for Gideon, it's true for us today. God is Jehovah Shalom, and he provides these riches and these powers through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And though we cannot fully understand all of his provision, we can experience it to a large degree. We can walk in it. And again, Paul wrote, "Be anxious for nothing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." Boy, put that on your refrigerator. Write that on your forehead, wherever you can put it. Get it and get it inside of you. Whatever you're facing in your life today and even tomorrow that may be 5 times or 10 times worse, God's saying you don't have to lose your peace. You don't have to lose shalom. You don't have to be all stressed out. I've got comforts for your anxieties. Come to me. I'm sovereign, just, good. I'm all of that and more. God has peace, shalom for you. But really, it's up to us whether or not we're going to walk in the shalom of God today and tomorrow and the coming days. It's going to get darker. It's okay. My God is able. His light shines through me. It's an opportunity to shine brightly, to be the salt and the light. See it as such. Don't allow the world to drag you down into the mud and hold their boot on your head. Don't do that. That's the enemy controlling you. Shabbat shalom to you today. Will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the God of peace. You are Jehovah Shalom. God, thank you for providing the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, our Messiah, our Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that we would fight against the anger and the frustration, the depression, all of that, Lord, that we would not allow it to control us, but we would run to you in confidence, knowing who you are and the glory that lies ahead for us. Lord, let us live for your glory and for your purposes now. Let us not be distracted by what happens today or in the coming days. We give ourselves to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath. You're dismissed.